If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another Celeb Bet Friday edition of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me as always is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. I'm juiced. My open picks are looking tasty and excited for the weekend, as always.
As always. And baseball's back in full swing, so plenty of betting opportunities for your boy here. All right, Diz. So a couple things I want to talk about. The Open Championship. So I know you picked Louis to win it, correct?
Yes, sir.
He is currently in the lead after two rounds. He's killing it. He is at minus 11. And then at second place is Colin Morikawa. And in third is Jordan Spieth. Now, when I was going over the episode notes for today, Diz, Morikawa was in the lead. That was, I think it may have even been before Louis teed off for the day. But I actually did have a bet on him at 35-1, even though I did not bring that up in the podcast.
Yes.
But the whole reason why is because he's actually number one in the field going into this tournament in greens and regulation. And in the first, when Lowry won, whenever the last Open Championship was, it was probably in 2019. He actually led the field in green regulation. So that's why I kind of went with that. But with Colin, you know, you're always hesitant because his putting is what kills him usually, but he's putting pretty well.
Some good analysis right there, Pat.
Yep. But
yeah, I think just Louis, if he doesn't choke it, like, he's playing better than everyone else. So I'm feeling confident and kind of waiting for shit to hit the fan because my bets have been going too well lately. So I feel like Louis is going to choke, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. I'm waiting to see if maybe if Morikawa or Spieth kind of closes that gap and then jumping on Louis, because right now at plus 220, I don't feel like it's worth jumping on him.
Louis is plus 220?
Yeah.
And he's only up by two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great value to me.
Well, and also, I just saw this stat, Diz. So in the last eight Open Championships, of the person that's leading after 36 holes has won the event three out of the last eight times.
Oh.
But the other way, so three people that have been 10th or lower after 36 holes have also ended up winning. So it's kind of like we said, there's a lot more random things that could happen with the weather and the timing of when you tee off. So I don't know that Louis is a lock, not because I don't think he can do it, but just because you never know with the weather. Yes. The Condities, that's right. Flashback to last episode.
How far back is DJ? That's probably great value.
DJ, he is currently four strokes back.
What's his value?
Let's see. Plus 800, so not bad.
8-1. I might sprinkle some cheddar there. That's great value.
I'll tell you though, another person to keep an eye on is John Rahm.
Of course.
I had him to miss the cut. Unfortunately, he did not miss the cut. But right now you can get John Rahm at plus 1400. That's the best odds you will see and be able to get him at in this tournament. He is currently six strokes back, but like we said, you know, with these Condities, you know, anything can happen. John Rahm, he went, I believe it was 6 under today. So he tied the lowest score of the rounds or of round two. And he went from plus one and possibly missing the cut to now minus five and only 6 strokes back of the lead. So something to keep an eye on. All right. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs, Diz. You've been in these finals. You've been kicking my ass.
I've been calling the shots, but my bets aren't hitting.
Yeah. That's kind of how it goes sometimes too. And especially in the playoffs and the series like this, you know, it's like Vegas is going to be right most of the time. And so it's hard to sometimes find value or, you know, figure out where there's a opportunity. But, Game five is tomorrow. Series is tied 2-2. I do think this is going 7. So I got some noteworthy stats from game four for you, Diz.
I love it.
So Giannis only had 26 points. But Chris Middleton had 40. So it feels like for the Bucks, if they have one person that scores 40 and then have like a second person that scores like 25, then they're usually in pretty good shape.
So wait, does that mean your point on Wednesday was horribly wrong or incredibly right?
Well, I said, you know, do you let Giannis eat and then lock down everyone else?
You said let Giannis eat and lock down everyone else.
Correct. And that is, they didn't do that. So it's hard to say if I was right or not. If Giannis would have scored 45 and then Middleton would have only had like 10 points and then the Suns won, then I would have been right. But in this case, Giannis didn't eat, so we can't really tell if my point was right or wrong at that point. But anyways, and then for the Suns, Booker had 42, so like I said, he did have a big bounce back game like I expected. He had 10 points in game three and then bounced back with 42 in game five. But CP3 only had 10 points and DeAndre Ayton only had 6 points in the loss. And Diz, that was the first game that the under hit. I think you had the over, did you not?
I did. I was down bad. The worst part is I was planning on staying awake for it, and I fell asleep in, like, the first quarter, so I didn't even get to watch it. I literally ranted about how you should bet on stuff you're going to watch.
And then you didn't watch it.
Old man Withers over here fell asleep in the first quarter.
Classic. But, you know, it was a lot of people, from what I heard, that did watch it thought that there was a possibility this game could have went to overtime. And then if it would have went into overtime, you would have hit, but... every home team this series, Diz, has won and covered. And the line's been like 4.5 every single game in favor of the home team.
Wow.
Do you think that the home games have been such a swing due to fans being in the stands?
Yeah, absolutely. I was listening to a podcast this morning and like the players are so juiced up by fans being back. You got to imagine what it was like. Playing in the bubble. The Suns, what didn't the Suns go like 8-0 in the bubble and then not even make the playoffs? So I think they just like love their fans being back. Bucks too. Bucks Stadium is rocking. I think the fans being back, it's like it's just having something you took for granted. I think the players are loving it. Yeah. Home team, I'm really curious what the line is tomorrow. Do they have it out yet?
4.5.
4.5 in favor of the Bucks because they're at home.
Suns are at home.
Got it.
Suns are 3.5-point favorites, and it is at Phoenix.
Gotcha. That's might be a good pick there. That's some good analysis. It really makes you wonder just fans being gone for that long and then them coming back. How were the other playoff series? Do we know, like, did the home teams win in the other playoff series?
Not like this. There wasn't a series that went 7 games and then had the home team win every single series.
See, I think
or every single game in the series.
I think it might just be more of a testament than to these fans.
I agree.
the Phoenix fans are juiced up. The Bucks feel like this is probably their best opportunity to win one, and they've blown it before in the playoffs. So these fan bases are probably just juiced up because they're relatively small markets. Small markets never win the title in the NBA. So it might just be kudos to the fan bases, honestly. I think COVID definitely plays a part, but I also think...
No, I'm with you. And I don't know if you saw, but of course, at the Bucks games, I think his name's David Bakhtiari. He's an offensive lineman for the Packers. And then Dana Beers from Barstool. They've just been like chugging beers in front of the fans and getting them like hyped up and whatever.
The best part of that video was he threw it back to Bakhtiari's dad.
And he crushed it.
Bakhtiari's dad ripped it. That was great. Yeah, that's electric.
You don't get that in an empty stadium or in the bubble, right?
Absolutely not.
So I think the fans are playing a big part. So Diz, do you think then it goes seven and it's the home team wins every single game and it just ends up being the Suns?
I think it's really rare for the home team to win every single game.
Well, yeah, for sure.
I don't think that'll happen, but I do think it goes seven.
And you think the Bucks win it and they take game seven in Phoenix?
I do.
Wow. Okay, then. I don't have any bets or anything for game five just yet. I might tweet out a same game parlay. I've been really enjoying those. But I would look for CP3 and Ayton to kind of ramp it back up. CP3 has been on a constant decline since the start of this series. CP3 scored like a whole bunch in game one, and then since he's just been going all the way down. But I'd say he bounces back for a solid like 20-25 point performance in game five. So look for some value on his over under on points. All right, Diz. It is Friday, which means it's Celeb Bet Friday. We got our usuals today, Diz. So Disher is back with another NASCAR pick. Unfortunately, his one last week did not hit, but he's back for us another one here. He likes Martin Truex Jr. to win the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301 at plus 135 odds. And can I just say, half of the times I really love these picks just by like saying what the name of the race is.
Yeah, wait, is it a 301-mile race?
I guess. Maybe 301 laps. I don't know. I didn't look into it, but I'm just Foxwoods Resort Casino. Shout out you guys for having a NASCAR race.
So it's called the Foxwood Resort Casino 301?
Yeah.
What? That's kind of dope.
Yeah. So big fan of that. But you can get Martin Truex Jr. to win it at plus 135 odds. The last six times at this track, he has an average finish of fourth place. And he has led 50% of the laps at this track and always runs well at 1.5 mile races. So make sure you jump on that at plus value. And then my boy Miles Diz, he's scratching me right where I itch. He actually gave us a unders parlay for us for the MLB tonight.
That makes me sick.
Yep.
Miles, I thought we were closer than that.
Miles panders to the host. Let's just be honest. He did have game one of the Minnesota Detroit doubleheader under 7.5, but that game got postponed. So that's not going to be in there. But he likes the Milwaukee Cincinnati under 8.5. I think there's a chance this game also gets postponed, but I really love that one because again, Diz, it's that same thing. If both teams are within plus or minus 150 and they've hit the under like the last 11-12 times or whatever. And then he likes Cubs Diamondbacks under 9 and Rangers Blue Jays under 10. And so if all games were being played, then the odds were at plus 1,323. And then the final celeb bet that we have, the Podfather likes Marcel Seam, man bun and all, to win the Open Championship.
Excuse me?
I assume, Diz, you haven't been watching, so you don't know who this guy is.
I don't know who that is.
So Marcel Seam, he's a firecracker. He's, I think he's from Europe. He does have a man bun. And I believe, oh, crap. Sorry about that. So trying to look up real quick where Marcel Seam ended up on the day, but so Marcel Seam is at -6, so he's 5 strokes back. He's from Germany, but every time he does something, the crowd goes nuts and he gets really into it. So he's really a fun guy to watch. He's really motivated, really excited, you know. I think he has a chance. I mean, I think anyone in the top 15 to 20 players right now has a chance. And I know you can get some good odds on Marcel Seam. Let me see what I'm at right
now. What's his value?
That's what I'm looking. Right now you can get Marcel Seam at +10,000 odds to win.
100-1.
And he's only 5 strokes back.
Might sprinkle some Chad. I've never seen this guy, but I bet he's electric to watch, so that's why I'm probably going to do it.
Dude, look him up, because he is definitely a character that is fun to watch. I saw him end his round yesterday, and I'm like, I have to bet on this guy. Like, I just have to. So I got Marcel Seam at 150 to 1 odds yesterday. So I've already got some cheddar on there. I'm with the Podfather. I hope he wins, because he's electric to watch. All right, Diz, let's review our best bets from Wednesday. I am 0-2, and I still have one that I guess technically could happen, but it's not likely. So both Justin Thomas and John Rahm made the cut. If the cut would have been made after the first round, they both would have missed the cut. They were both below the cut line to start the day, but then they had decent enough rounds that they both made the cut. So that those hurt. And then Rory, I have Rory to win the thing as my other best bet, and he barely made the cut as well. I think he finished at even par, and right now Louis's at -11, so I'm probably going to lose that one too. So I'll just go ahead and chalk that up to an 0-3 for your boy. Diz, how'd your best bets do?
I went 1-1. The Bucks Suns over did not hit. I heard it was a fantastic game. I wish I would have watched more of it, but I fell asleep in the first quarter. Typical for me. And then my Martingale, $5 Martingale for Louis, Bryson, and Rory to make the cut, all hit. Close calls with Rory and Bryson. But
yeah.
King Louis, my boy, who I bet outright is the winner, is leading by 2. We kind of briefly mentioned that, but feeling great. We have another Martingale tonight, believe it or not. So I'm getting cocky with these Martingales, but I've never gotten to the $20 point. That's going to be a scary point, but haven't been there yet. I've won off 1 or 2 tries in every single one of my Martingales. I'm up $78 so far on my Martingales. So as long as I get to 100, even if I lose 4 times in a row, I still net a profit. So if once I hit to 100, I might be doing Martingales every day.
Nice. I love it. And what did you get Louis at to win at the beginning of the tournament?
He was 28-1.
Wow. Nice. Like I said, I got Morikawa at 30-1. So we're both kind of up there and fighting. But let's get into our best bets of the night, Diz. I got MLB ones for you. So the my first best bet, Diz, I have Nationals Padres first 5 over 5.5 runs. So Paddock is pitching for the Padres. He has an ERA of 11.48 since the removal of Spider Tack.
Oh my God.
Freddie, I don't know, Freddie, I don't know how you say it, but he's pitching for the Nationals. He has a 9.45 ERA since the removal of Spider Tack.
Holy balls.
With those ERAs, I would have taken this over, but to kind of Add on top of it, the Nationals are 7th in the league against righties, and the Padres are 10th against in the league against righties. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. Give me the first five over 5.5 for Nationals-Padres.
Nice. I'm on board. I'll probably take it. Many overs as I can.
I'm going the other direction because, of course, I have to. I can't go a day without a best bet that is an under. I am going Cardinals-Giants first five under 3.5. Gausman is pitching for the Giants. He's up there for National League Cy Young. He has a 2.52 ERA without the tack. And then my boy Wainwright is pitching for the Cardinals. He has a 2.84 ERA without the tack. And then the Cardinals can't hit right-handed pitching. They're 23rd in the league against righties. Giants are 9th. It's not great. I wish they'd be a little bit worse against righties. But I got faith in Wainwright. I got faith in Gausman. It's going to be a pitcher's duel. It's going to be 0-0, 1-0 at the end of five. Give me the under here, and I can totally see why people might take the Giants here. But I think it's just easier to get the under here. Yeah. Keep it coming. I love it. I love it when you boo me. I'm going, this next one, Diz, I'm doing Rockies first five plus a half a run versus the Dodgers. Now, most people would say I'm crazy for taking the Rockies against the Dodgers. But I feel really, really good about this one, Diz, and I'll tell you why. So, a left-handed pitcher, Urias, he's pitching for the Dodgers. He has a 4.03 ERA without spider tack. Right, a righty, Senzatela, is pitching for the Rockies. He has a 3.5 ERA without spider tack. So slight advantage Rockies, correct? He would say correct. I don't know what.
Correct.
I was waiting for something. Okay, thank you. There we go.
Hey, can you hear the rain slap my car? Is it too loud?
No, it's fine. I only hear it when you say something, but it's not a huge deal. So we'll keep it rolling.
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
So the Dodgers are 8th in the league against right-handed pitchers. The Rockies are actually 4th in the league against lefties. So the Rockies have the pitching advantage. The Rockies have the hitting advantage. And it's in Colorado, where the Colorado Rockies are a completely different team at home than they are on the road. So I'm taking Rockies first five plus a half run versus the Dodgers.
Love it.
And Diz, I have a surprise fourth best bet for you. Usually I go with three, but I saw this one as well, and I just had to add it. And it's the first day back with baseball. I'm going all out. Give me a fourth best bet. I'm going Mariners first five plus a half a run versus the Angels. So righty Flexen is pitching for the Mariners. He has a 1.82 ERA without the tack. A lefty, Haney, is pitching for the Angels, and he has a 9.42 ERA without the tack. I normally look at hitting stats well, but I don't even feel I need to here. I'm going Mariners first five plus a half a run versus the Angels.
That is heavily lopsided. Is that like a horrible value? Why is it only plus half? I guess the Angels are better than the Mariners, right?
The Angels are a better hitting team against the Mariners. Now, Flexen pitched against the Angels, like, I think it was a week ago, and he went 7 and gave up 0 earned. And then the time before that, when he faced the Angels, he went 6 and gave up 1 earned. So how are you going to give me a half a run with a guy that's just dominated the Angels?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So there's my four best bets of the night, all in the MLB. I think a lot of people aren't looking at stats that are since the removal of the sticky stuff, since the removal of spider tack. I think too many people are focusing on the first half stats in total, and that'll get you a completely different answer or look as to what I'm looking at here, Diz. And so I'm actually seeing a ton of great value on the board tonight.
Oh yeah, Bob. Get it.
So, Diz, what do you got for your best bets for tonight?
I got two. I have Reds money line. I'm riding it. We're hot. The Brewers got torched. Their pitching got torched in the All-Star game. The Reds are four games back, and they have a three-game series. If they sweep or get two of three, they're either one or two games back. I'm absolutely loving it. Reds are all the way back. I'm on board. Betting with my heart. Probably going to lose. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Reds money line is my first one. Second one, we're going another Martingale. The Atlanta Braves versus the Tampa Bay Rays. First, no run first inning was minus 100. And now it's plus 120. So $5 to win six there for my first Martingale round. I know we're a no-run second-inning podcast, but the no-run first inning got the boost, so I had to take the NRFI there. But just know NRSI will always be in my heart.
Absolutely. And I've – so I also took that boost, and yes, we are an NRSI pod. And I'll tell you what, when we get big enough and we hit the big time and we get these – sports books that are going to sponsor or work with us, we will implement the NRSI. We will get the NRSI boosted. I mean, it's stupid not to at this point, but I understand you sometimes your hands are tied with these boosts and you know, you take the boost when they're good value. And I agree with you that that's a good value pick. And also, your talk about the Reds, at this point, it's pretty much just a three team race because the Cubs are on a fire sale right now.
Cubs are booty.
The Cubs traded Jock Peterson to the Braves. And everyone's saying that Chris Bryant will probably get traded to the Mets sometime in the next 2 weeks. We got the trade deadline coming up in about 2 weeks. And maybe Rizzo might be gone too, because all of them are on expiring contracts. They haven't paid any of them, and at this point, if they don't trade them, they're going to get nothing for these players. So, if the Cardinals can kind of wake up the bats a little bit, and it might be a three-team race in the NL Central, and I'm here for it.
No, they're not going to.
Okay, Diz, come on.
No.
Why can't it be okay, fine. How about a two-team race? Let's just say screw the Brewers, and the Brewers just fall off.
Because I think we can beat the Brewers. I don't know if we'll beat you guys.
Okay. It's a bit of a sucker take, but I'm on board with it.
I'm just saying, you guys are the Brewers. I'm racing to get the NL Central in August. I want the Brewers.
I can't disagree with you. All right, Diz. It's time. Hail Mary parlay of the day. Now, I'm going to let you guess again. I like having you guess. I know it's just a random shot in the dark, but what kind of value do you think I'm getting on a $1 bet tonight?
971.
Actually, that was shockingly close, but $1 to win $1,150.79.
Okay.
Now, the reason behind that, Diz, is because I have six bets that are at plus money right now. Again, it's like I said earlier, I don't know if people, you know, are coming off the All-Star break and they're just looking at first half stats or what, but if you're not looking at the difference between the spider tack and without the spider tack, you're going to get burnt like I was for like the first week or two when we were betting without looking at that. But anyways... So I got Pirates first five plus a half a run versus the Mets. I've got Padres Nationals first five over 5.5 total runs. I got Blue Jays first five minus 1.5 runs versus the Rangers. And then I've got the Rays and the Braves first five under 4.5. So if that NRFI hits, then that looks pretty good. I've got Royals minus 1.5 versus the Orioles. Astros first five minus 0.5 versus the White Sox. Giants Cardinals first five under 3.5. Rockies first five plus 0.5 versus the Dodgers. Mariners first five plus 0.5 versus the Angels. And then finally Athletics minus 1.5 versus the Indians. That Cassius Diz, when I come over, we're raging.
Dude, let's go. You're coming over tonight, right? Let's get wild, bub.
Let's get wild. The only problem is I don't think that I will still be at your house by the time the last game finishes, but
probably that's not, okay. But hey, we'll have a decent idea.
That's right. Maybe you can help me with my hedge if it actually gets close.
I'm not one to hedge, but you know, maybe I will.
Well, if the difference is $1,000 or zero, I'm gonna hedge.
Didn't the first time.
That's not true at all. I definitely hedged the first time.
Right, but you only hedged because you knew like you had a winning outcome either way.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. If we get into the same situation again, I'm going to hedge.
Hedging is like covering losses is what hedging is. We talked about this on the pod, Pat.
Yeah, we said it can either be covering losses or if you have like a set guaranteed outcome to win, then you can hedge a little bit to make sure you get some money out of it.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a participant in this pod. I'm not a listener. Just kidding. I do listen on my way to work.
That's funny. All right, Diz. Anything you would like to get off your chest before we wrap this up?
I kind of do. I know this would take a year and a half, but we should start keeping like a total record of our best bets. So we know how we do through an entire year, an entire season or something.
See, I thought about that as well.
Because I think I'm lapping the field.
Wow. Okay.
But that's not why I want to do it. I just think it'd be cool, like on our Twitter, @SportsBetByDumb, if like you post the results and then like, oh, Diz is 31-28-6 or something.
Yeah. So one thing I'm thinking about doing, Diz, there's a few apps out there where you can like put your bets in and track it. So I'm thinking about possibly doing that with our best bets. That way we can track it and then we can come back and say, oh yeah, you know, I went 0-3 tonight, so that puts me at 10-15-1 for best bets or whatever.
Right.
So maybe we'll start that tonight, but it's weird though. It gets weird, especially if your best bet's like a boost or something. Because not all apps like to bet props. So we may just have to physically keep track of our best bets, but we'll see. We'll workshop it. All right. Well, thank you all again for listening. We love you guys. We appreciate everything you do. Hopefully we're starting to make some money together. We're starting to bankrupt the sports books a little bit. Stay safe out there. It's going to be, at least in our neck of the woods, it's going to be a kind of rainy, stormy, gross weekend. Have a safe weekend. Have a profitable weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.